Good morning to everyone. Last week, Arthur told me that when I move in a certain direction, you don't hear me. So I hope you hear me well as I sit here at this moment, stationary.
Don't move to only to the right.
Don't move to the left, only to the right. I hope that's not a political statement, but assuming that it's not, I'll do my very best to only move to the right. Halachically, indeed, in shul, we always say to move to your right. That's what we usually do. So we're going to be very careful only to move to the right. I'd like to dedicate the shiur this morning to my own Rebbe and mentor, Rav Aharon Lichtenstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Last week was his Yortzeit on Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, and I really wanted to dedicate a shiur in his memory, but the last time we spoke, it was Yom HaTzma'ut. So I thought that if I don't make a Zionistic statement, you'll start thinking I'm anti-Zionist. So therefore, I decided that I'll push it off for a week and try to give a shiur in his memory this morning, following one of the many methods that he taught his many students of how to learn. He wasn't just a teacher, and he wasn't just a big Talmid Chacham, and he wasn't just an amazing Magid Shir, someone that was able to actually give over his knowledge. He actually taught students how to learn on their own, to such an extent that after a while, you sort of knew where he's going, because he followed a very strict method when he learned. And I'm going to try to give one aspect of that this morning, in terms of trying to see how he learned a specific sugya. And I'm going to use what I heard from another great rabbi and Talmid Chacham, Rav Asher Weiss Shlita, may he live many more years. I heard it once. If you hear anything good in this year, it's probably from him. All the jokes are on me, and all the narishkeit is on me. But the good stuff is from him. I sent the source sheet out. Bruce, were you able to send it out?
Yeah, does everyone have it?
Yeah, it was an email.
Mm-hmm. Very good. So the topic I wanted to deal with this morning is a topic that, unfortunately, many Jews find themselves in, but fortunately, they do. Unfortunately, because of this virus, many Jews were in a very big sakanas nefashos. They unfortunately were very sick, some of them hospitalized, some of them even in intensive care, and some of them, Baruch Hashem, got better. And now that they got better, they have an obligation to do what?
Bench gomel.
Bench gomel. It's a small bracha. It's not so hard to do. You say it after an aliyah, it adds 5 seconds, 7 seconds to your aliyah. But what I wanted to deal with today is one of the notions as to what this bracha is based on. Brachot in general, is the Oraisa or the Rabbanan?
The Rabbanan.
The Rabbanan, the rabbis made brachos, except for maybe two.
Kriyat Shema and Birchas Hamazon.
Kriyat Shema is not a bracha. Kriyat Shema is a mitzvah of saying Shema. There's no bracha involved. But you're right, Harold, that the Chachamim made a takana that we say two brachas before Kriyat Shema, one after in the morning and two after at night. However, Harold is right. Go right ahead, Harold.
Birchas Hamazon?
We'll get to Birchas Hamazon. Just to finish with Birchas Kriyat Shema, there is an interesting halacha we'll have to deal with one day, and that is that even though we say Safek Brachot Lehakel, if you have a doubt, if you said a bracha, then you don't go ahead and repeat the bracha. When it comes to Kriyat Shema, if you have a doubt, if you said Kriyat Shema with its brachot, they do repeat the brachot. If you only have a suffix, if you said the brachot, suffix brachot lahakel, you don't go ahead and repeat it, or perhaps say it for the first time. But when it comes to having a whole suffix, if you even said Kriyat Shema with its brachos, then you do it all. It's like a package deal. However, brachos Kriyat Shema is the Rabbanan. Harold said correctly, there's two brachos mido oraisa, one is birkat hamazon, but only if you eat a large quantity of kibetza and beyond, not if you eat a kezayit, then it's only the Rabbanan. And what's... Yes, Harold?
What about Birkas Kohanim? Is that the Oraisa?
Birkas Kohanim is indeed the Oraisa. The Bracha may not be the Oraisa. So, we have Birkas HaMazon and Birkas HaTorah that we say in the morning. Whatever Birkas HaTorah might be, it's according to the pshat in the Gemara Brachos Daf Kaf Aleph. It's the Oraisa learned out from a pasuk, And therefore, if you have a suffix in those two, you probably do have to repeat it. Outside of those, the majority, vast majority of our brachot are derabbanan. Namely, even if you're doing a d'oraisa mitzvah, shaking a lulav, blowing a shofar on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, eating matzah on the night of the Seder, the bracha preceding it and proceeding it is derabbanan. However, when we come to this particular Birkas HaGomel, we find something rather striking. If you would have asked me, I would have said it's the Rabbanan. If not, for the following. If you look on the top of the source sheet, you'll see that one of the many korbanos that we can volunteer to bring is a korban toda. What is a korban toda? So the pilgrims, they answered the question for us. What's the korban toda?
Thanks.
Thanksgiving. Yeah. Thank you, God, for giving me a korban toda, correct? Very good. So we have a korban toda, and the korban toda, as you see on the right side of the source sheet, in the parshiot we read a few weeks ago, either alone or in a minyan, im al toda yakrivenu, if you're bringing a korban toda, this is the stuff you have to bring with it. It's a very unique korban, because it's one of the only ones in the Beis HaMikdash that was brought with real chametz, not just with matzah. And indeed, we read just a week ago, the psukim in Perek Kaf Bet of Ayikra, which says, "V'chit tizbechu zevach toda la Hashem, if you're being a korban toda, liritzomchem tizbachu." It's not obligatory. You can volunteer to bring it. Mayoma hu yeyachel, etc. These are the laws that govern it. If you look on the left side of the source sheet, you'll find something very fascinating. The Gemara in Brachos Taf Nun Dalet Omud Bet says, "Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav." There are four people that have to give thanks to God by virtue of the Birkas HaGomel. And if you look in the Shulchan Aruch Siman Resh Yud Tet, quoted right under it, here are the examples. And for me this morning, the most important example is number three. Umi shehaya chole venit rape. Which means what?
When you're sick.
When you're sick, and Bruce said, you don't thank God for being sick.
You recover.
Thank you. When you recover. So, when you are sick and you recover, you have to say Birkas HaGomel, and the Shulchan Aruch spells out the bracha we all know, and what the people do when they hear the bracha. You say HaGomel HaChayevim Tovot, and the people answer Misha Mekha Kol Tuf. Comes along Rashi on the Chumash when it talks about Korban Toda and connects HaGomel to Korban Toda, says Rashi on the Chumash. Many people learn Rashi as a fulfillment of Shtayim Mikra, the Echad Targum. We mentioned in one of our former Shiurim that I gave a suggestion that perhaps there is no obligation if we don't daven in a minyan to do Shtayim Mikra, the Echad Targum, because no one's laning. But Baruch Hashem, we're in a better situation this week, so we're going to leave that for Halacha Shir some other time, because it's not Lamaise Baruch Hashem. In any case, if you learned Rashi on the Chumash, Shtayim Mikra Vechatargum, you'll see that Rashi says that who brings a Korban Toda? Lo and behold, exactly the four examples of who says Birkas HaGomel. Yor Dehayam Olchei Midbarot, Chavush Bebeit HaAsurim, Vecholeshe Nitrape. And Rashi says, based on the Gemara, it's all based on our Yom HaAtzma'ut davening. What am I speaking of? Yom HaAtzma'ut davening is a touchy topic. You see, if you're a Zionist on Yom HaAtzma'ut, I always feel that every Zionist has to show he's even more of a Zionist than his neighbor. So comes Yom HaAtzma'ut, and instead of davening a normal Ma'ariv, we have this whole razzle-dazzle ceremony of this perek, that perek, a little Shabbos, a little Yontiv, a little up, a little down. There's a little shofar blowing and whatnot. I'm not going to go into, is it a good idea or a bad idea? But the beginning of that Yom HaAtzma'ut service at night starts with Perek Kuf Zayin in Tehillim, starting with the words, Hodu LaHashem Ki Tov Ki Lo Olam Chasdo, a very appropriate statement to say on Yom HaAtzma'ut. And it says in there, a few times, Yodu LaHashem Chasdo V'Nifle Otav Livnei Adam. Thank God for His beautiful kindness. So says Rashi, based on the Gemara, that there is a correlation between Korban Toda and a Gomel. The same reasons you bring a Korban Toda when there's a Beis HaMikdash, obligates you to say Hagomel today. Okay? Now that's very nice to say. My question I wanted to deal with is something I learned from Rav Lichtenstein, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, many times. And he called it in Hebrew, the Mifchan HaHashva'a, the test of comparison. Anytime Chazal come and say, this is like that, do they mean it literally or figuratively? Let's take an example. Everybody knows that there is an ancient Jewish custom quoted in Shulchan Aruch that you don't sit down at the table to eat unless something's on the table and it's not your cell phone. What's supposed to be on your table when you eat? Not a newspaper, not a cell phone, what?
Lechem.
If you eat lechem, I'm sure you'll need to have it on the table, but no, lechem is not obligatory. I'm talking about something that's a food item that you leave on the table even if you don't use it. Okay, I'll give you a hint. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash, we don't have a Mizbeach. Chazal said that today our dining room table is like a Mizbeach. If our dining room table is like a Mizbeach...
Salt.
And, what?
Salt.
Very good, salt.
Yeah, but wait a minute. You had given a share once saying that you don't eat salt.
Right. But there's an ancient Jewish custom not to sit down without having salt on the table. My Rebbe Rav Lichtenstein definitely did that. To make a long story short, if you want to say that a dining room table is like a Mizbeach, does it have to be square like a Mizbeach? Does it have to have a ramp going up to it like a Mizbeach? Are you allowed to sleep on it, or is that a Kedas Yitzchak in the year 2020? So question is, indeed, is a table like a Mizbeach? How far does it go? You say, this is like that. Let's test it. How far does it go? So now we're talking about a Korban Todah, which is like a Gomel. So if we say HaGomel, and it's like a Korban Todah, how far do we go? So let's look at a few halachas of Korban Todah, and we'll be able to judge how much it's like Birkas HaGomel and how much it's not. And let's begin. Let's see if we indeed can find comparisons between the two. Everybody ready? Okay. Number one, as we say in English. Nafkamina number one. Let's see if we are correct. Says the source sheet before you. I'm just having a... Here we go. The source sheet states, if you go from city to city. So as everybody knows, we have an obligation to say Tfilas HaDerech. We're not dealing with that this morning. But comes the Rosh and says the following about HaGomel. V'nahagu be'ashkenaz uvetzorfat. Stop. Everybody here knows why he used that example? Today, you'd say the Hasidim do this, and the Litvakim do that, and the Sfardim do this, and the Temanim do that. Back in the old country, at the time of the Rishonim, all these statements didn't exist. Rather, there was three main Jewish communities. Ashkenaz, Sfarad, and what was called Tzorfat or Provence. So says the Rosh, I am an Ashkenazi rabbi serving a Sephardic community, and I'm going to tell you that on my way down to Sfarad, from Ashkenaz, maybe going through Tzarfat, this is what I saw. Nahagu ba'ashkenaz uvet Tzarfat.
What about Ezra Mizrach?
Pardon?
What about the Ezra Mizrach? That wasn't a separate unit? I mean...
Eidot HaMizrach is what I mean by Sfarad. Correct.
Ah, okay.
Same idea. V'nahagu ba'ashkenaz uvet Tzarfat. She'en bevachim birkas ha'gomel, kesheholchim mi'ir le'ir, desfira lehu, shelo hitzricho lehodot, ela, holchei mitbarov, deshchichi be'chastim. So, says the Rosh, that in Ashkenaz and the Tzarfat, when a person traveled from Yerushalayim to Tel Aviv, say, they didn't say a Birkas HaGomel, because, with due respect, it's not like the desert. The desert is full of snakes and scorpions and who knows what, but a highway is not. And therefore, there's no reason to thank God above and beyond what we thank Him every day. How do we thank God every day? Few examples. We get up in the morning, what do we say? Modani. We stand before God in the Amida, and what do we say? Modim anachnu lach. And even in the Chazarat Hashatz, those that remember Chazarat Hashatz way back when, remember the dinosaurs used to be on the earth? We used to shake hands with each other. We used to complain about davening in a minyan. You remember that time? It's amazing what a month and a half has done. We forgot how much we used to complain about shul. All you want to do now is get back into shul. So anyway, even when you see the Chazarat Hashatz, the congregation says, Amodim derabanan. So Amodim is part of our davening. But above and beyond it, you have to make a Birkas HaGomel. If you successfully drove from Efrat to Yerushalayim, says the Rosh, no. And why does he say no? He says as follows, because it's not that, because the Yerushalmi does say, Kol Adrachim Bechizkat Sakana, anytime you go into a car, it's dangerous. Anytime you travel from one place to another, it's very dangerous. And we all know today that with due respect to the rallies against the internet and against the screens and against the phones, more people were killed by road accidents than they were by cell phones and screens and phones. So indeed, says the Rosh, for tefillah taderech purposes, you do say a tefillah saderech. Aval birkas hagomel, says the Rosh, bimkom todah nitkena. So because hagomel is in place of a korban todah, the only time you make the bracha is when you would have brought a korban todah. You wouldn't have brought a korban todah when you just traveled from Yerushalayim to Efrat. You would have brought it if you came out of a very dangerous trip, a very sophisticated and complex trip. So nafka mina number one, is it like a korban todah? The answer is yes, because we only make a gomel when something extraordinary happened on the way, not when a person just happened to have a headache one day and the next day the headache was gone. So we see comparatively, that perhaps it's like a korban todah because you don't make hagomel unless it's a very dangerous trip. Nafka mina number two. And this is a question many people have asked at this time of the year because of the terrible situation we're in. We haven't yet been in a minyan. One of the laws of birkas hagomel is to say it in front of 10. So people said, I got better 2.5 weeks ago. But I haven't been in a minyan. There's no minyanim. When? Until when? Can I make Birkas HaGomel? Any ideas? Any suggestions?
It's to do within 5 days. But
5 days, that is a shita of the Rashba. Interesting that you remembered that, Harold. Very good.
What a guess. What a guess, man.
What a guess. Bruce doesn't want to give you as much credit as me. Okay.
How about within a month?
A month, okay.
Within a month.
Why do you say a month? Based on what?
Because let's say you're in a place where you get out of jail and it takes you a long time to get back to your hometown.
Oh, so you're saying a month is a function of how long it takes you to get home. I thought you were going to say something else, and that is that a month is important in Judaism. We have Shloshim Yom, that a person unfortunately is in mourning. We have Shloshim Yom to determine if a baby was born and unfortunately died. If it's died after 30 days, then indeed it was a proper baby that unfortunately died, and you have to sit Shiva. If it was less than 30 days alive, perhaps not. So 30 is an important thing in Judaism. Okay, so actually, lahalacha, there's two shittos brought. One shita is as long as you want, whenever you want. And the other one is within 3 days of the extraordinary event happening. Let's look back at the source sheet now, and we'll see what I mean. So the source sheet says as follows. Shulchan Aruch Paskins, right side of the sheet. Imicher, if he was late, namely he couldn't make a gomel the minute he got better. Yesh lo tashlumin lebarech kozman shiyirtze, whenever he'd like. 10 people, you can say Agomel. But, says the Shulchan Aruch, v'nachon, it's proper, shelo la'acher shlosha yamim. So the Shulchan Aruch said, the regular halacha is for as long as you'd like, but better within 3 days. He's basing himself off many Rishonim, but one of them is the tour on the left side. If you look at the tour on the left side, what's the difference between that tour and the Shulchan Aruch?
Whenever he wants.
Tor just says, as long as you want. The Shulchan Aruch adds, proper within 3 days. I would like to add, I would like to basically ask, what's behind their machlokas? What are they really going ahead and not agreeing on? Another thing Rav Lichtenstein always taught us is that you have to think what's behind their machlokas. It must be an on-principle machlokas they have. regarding the very fundamental of this particular thing. So we're talking about Birkas HaGomel. Let's see. Comes along the base.
What about, you're comparing it to a carbon. How weight can you take?
Very good. So, if you look on the left side, the Torah said, as long as you want, says the book called Seida Laderech. As I said earlier, this shir is basically based on a shir I heard from Rav Asher Weishlita. And he quoted this book that I didn't know existed. Seida Laderech is one of the books of the Rishonim. A Rishon that we don't quote a lot. From the 14th century in Spain, Rav Menachem ben Aharon ben Zerach. And this Rishon wrote a book called Seida Laderech, which I have to say, I read through a few pages. It's a very interesting way of writing a halachic book. It like puts in halacha with a little philosophy, with a little machshava. Not easy to read. So, because it's not so easy to read, I decided to be nice to everyone today. Don't get used to me being nice. But today, I decided to be nice. I always tell my wife, there's two things you can't get used to. For me being nice, and for me being wrong. Here and there, I'm wrong. I always tell her, don't get used to it. So, going ahead and quoting from Tzeida Laderech, I try to be nice today, and quote to you the Tzeida Laderech very part that he talks about this, and not the whole particular passage. He says, V'ra'ui lo le'adam. Yes?
Why shouldn't this be a personal thing? We mentioned the guy driving from, let's say, Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. If he never does it, and he's 90 years old, and he's got to get a doctor woman, and he manages to drive, for him, it's a big deal, and he feels it was life-threatening. So then he brings the...
And he should have taken a taxi.
And then he makes the bracha. But the guy who commutes every day, it's no big deal to him. He feels like he shouldn't, so he doesn't. Why do we have to make it uniform?
It's not uniform, Bruce. It's definitely not uniform. And I'm not going into all the halachos of Birkas HaGomel, but what you just brought up is actually a very big machlokas to this very moment about the following scenario. Do you remember planes? We used to fly from place to place way back when, before the virus. If you take a plane trip from Israel to America, do you say HaGomel when you land? On the one hand, you're one of the Holchei Midbariot. You went over a very big sea. Okay, one of the examples, if you look on the top of the source sheet, you'll see, is going on a trip that goes through a desert and goes over an ocean. On the other hand, it's no secret today that plane travel is far more safe than car travel. So indeed, there's a machlokas, do you say a Birkas HaGomel after a trip when you're used to flying from place to place or not? And this is a very interesting machlokas. I won't want to get into it, but that's exactly what you're saying. Is it subjective or objective? Okay? Rav Soloveitchik did not say HaGomel when he went on a plane. Rav Moshe Feinstein did paskin to say it, and I think it's based on that. Going back to our story, says the Tzeida Laderech, that indeed, why can you make this bracha for as long as you want? Usually in brachos we say, it's based on the thing you're making the bracha on still relevant. For example, if you put on your talis and your tefillin in the morning before the time you're supposed to, from Mishayakir ben Chelet Lelavan, which is somewhere in between Alot HaShachar, dawn, till Netzach HaMas, sunrise, if you put on your tefillin from Alot HaShachar onwards, but it's not yet Mishayakir, what's the halacha? What do? Pardon?
You have to move it again when it's the Zman and make the bracha then.
If it's still on you, you can move it a bit and say the bracha and then move it a bit, right? Namely, The thing that you're making the bracha on is still there. It's on you. But would anyone say, put on your talis and tefillin, take it off, and later in the day, make the bracha? The answer is no. In Judaism, we don't make brachos on air. We make brachos on real things. If it's a mitzvah, it's right before we do a mitzvah. If it's some sort of a scenario that happens in nature, like yesterday we had thunder, you hear the thunder, you say the bracha. No one in their right mind would say, a day later, say the bracha. So with regard to brachos, there is a certain time where it's invalid, where it's expired, to be more precise. But since it's Seida Laderech, in this case, you can say it whenever you want. Why? Whenever you would like, you can bring a korban toda to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So since HaGomel is like korban toda, take your time whenever you'd like. So why did the Shulchan Aruch say better within 3 days? So in order to know what the Shulchan Aruch is thinking, you don't have to sit here and philosophize. You know, many people do that. They philosophize about why the person said this and that. The one thing they won't do is to look in their book and to see why. They'd rather sit here and like philosophize with themselves. Oh, why did he say that? And someone says, let's ask him. What are you talking about, ask him? Don't ask. Let's philosophize about it. So as you know, the Shulchan Aruch wrote a book prior to the Shulchan Aruch, which the Shulchan Aruch is based on. It's the bottom line of which Perush? Rav Yosef Karo, 16th century, Tzfat, before he wrote the Shulchan Aruch?
Beis Yosef.
The Beis Yosef! Thank you, Barry. The Beis Yosef. And indeed, in the Beis Yosef, he explains what he means. Says the Beis Yosef on this particular issue, and I quote, Be'orchos chayim katuv b'shem haramban, da'ad shlosh hayomim mevarchim. V'ani matzati katuv d'talma mid'amrinan be'eruvin, haba min haderech, lo yitpalel ad shlosh hayomim. Nireh, da'ad shlosh hayomim, karui ba min haderech. Comes along the Beis Yosef and says, we just said with regard to Talis and Tefillin, it has to be on you in some way or another for you to make the bracha. If you've already taken it off, no one's going to say make the bracha. Meaning there is an expiration date. What's the expiration date for Hagomel on a very far trip you made and you came and Baruch Hashem, you arrived successfully? Says the Or Cheschaim in the name of the Ramban, you can make the bracha as long as you're jet lag. You can make the bracha as long as you're jet lag. Namely, as long as the results of that particular long trip is upon you. And says the Gemara in Eruvin, a very interesting halacha, that if we would advocate it, I believe it would do wonders for many people, but unfortunately they would probably abuse it. What do I mean? If you look at the bottom of the source sheet on the right side, says the Gemara in Eruvin, and the Rambam paskins this, don't daven for 3 days after you've come back from a very long, sophisticated, complex, and tiring trip. Why? Should I spell it out? Here we go. You came from America to Israel. You took a flight that left America at 11 o'clock at night. You arrived in Israel the next day, 5 o'clock in the afternoon, local time. You get met at the airport. You come home. After you're home, you go ahead and you give your presents to your kids. You say good night. You fall asleep and you wake up after an hour, 2 hours. And then you're up and up and up because jet lag. And finally, in the morning, when your wife and your kids say, good morning, what a beautiful day. So you play along. You go to davening, you put on your tallis tefillin, you start davening, but quite frankly, your body thinks it's 12 o'clock midnight. How does your davening look when you're dead tired? So says the Gemara, for as long as you feel the results of that big trip, you shouldn't daven because you can't have kavana. And as I said earlier, even though it's a Gemara, it's Paskin in the Rambam, I'd be very weary to go ahead and give this to people because I think they're going to abuse it rather than use it. Namely, they're not going to have kavana throughout the year, but they'll still not daven for those 3 days. But getting back to our story, what does the Beis Yosef say? I don't look at this as a korban toda. I look at this as a bracha. In brachos, there is an expiration date. When the thing is off of us, when it's no longer part of our very, I would say, ongoing existence, then you don't say the bracha. Correct? So talis and tefillin are off, you can't say the bracha. You've eaten an apple, you finished eating the apple, you say, oh my gosh, I didn't make the bracha, you can't make the bracha. So comes along the Beis Yosef and says, I don't treat this like a korban toda, which you can bring anytime you want. I treat it like a bracha. I don't know what motivated the sages to go ahead and make this bracha. It could be korban toda, but tachlis, right now it's a bracha. And if it's a bracha, whenever the bracha's reason, I don't feel anymore, I don't feel tired from the trip, you can't say a gomel. After 3 days, you don't feel the trip anymore. After 3 days, your jet lag goes down. Unlike the Torah that says it's like a Korban Todah, take your time. So far we brought two ramifications to see how much is Hagomel like Korban Todah. Number one, if you go from city to city. And number two, what's the expiration date for saying Hagomel? Getting on with our story, if you go to the second sheet of the source sheet, let's see another nafkamina. Everybody here knows that one of the laws that govern korbanos is that korbanos cannot be brought when? When can't you bring korbanos? When does the Beis HaMikdash close down?
You can't bring them after sunset.
You can't bring them after sunset, namely, Bruce, at night. Right? So,
after the mincha.
In the Beis HaMikdash, we sandwiched all the korbanos, with the exception of the Korban Pesach, between Korban Tamid Shel Boker and Korban Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim. So people brought various korbanos during that time, but only during daylight hours. So, ask a question. If Korban Todah is like Hagomel, and Hagomel is like Korban Todah, then, anyone?
You can only do it during the day.
Maybe you're not allowed to say Hagomel at night. Comes along the Chasam Sofer, beautiful tshuva, you have it in front of you, and he tells the following story. I always thought that, you know, there's Ashkenazim, there's Sfardim, there's Hasidim, there's Itvakin, and they never spoke to each other. It turns out, if you look at the response of literature, many a times, the various rabbis in various towns spoke to their colleagues in other towns, even though he was a Sephardi, he was an Ashkenazi. So the Chasam Sofer was a real Ashkenazi. As a matter of fact, he always signed his tshuvas as... Anyone? Anyone read a tshuva of the Chasam Sofer? How does he sign his tshuvas? He always says, Al Moshe HaSofer from Frankfurt on the Main. Meaning he was a very proud Ashkenazi from Germany, even though he was a rabbi in Hungary. So in this tshuva, he gets the following question from a rabbi in Trieste. Trieste is in? Italy.
Northeast Italy.
Italy. Moreno Rav Chacham Shabtai Elchanan, the rabbi of Trieste, came back from a long trip, and the community loved their rabbi. Very rare. They loved their rabbi. They didn't complain about him. They didn't talk about how terrible he is over the kugel on Shabbos. They loved the rabbi. How did they love the rabbi? He came back from a long trip, and they went out, and they greeted him. And they brought him into shul. And they started to dance. Thank God you've come back from a big trip. And because he came in from a big trip, he decided to make the bracha in front of the minyan of Hagomel. Okay. Well, two things went wrong in the eyes of another rabbi there on the left side of the source sheet, who I don't know, another Sephardic rabbi, Yitzchak Guitan. This Rabbi Guitan said to Rabbi of Trieste, you are the biggest Amaretz I've ever met in my life. First of all, I'm jealous. Look how the community loves you. But second of all, I don't know if that's true. But second of all, you made a big mistake. You said Agomel at night. Why can't you say Agomel at night?
Don't bring a korban.
Since you can't bring a korban at night, you can't say Agomel at night. By the way, I'm saying in parentheses, if that was true, then maybe on Friday night, you don't put salt on the table, because anyway you can't bring korbanos, only Shabbos during the day. Something to think about. For dinner, you don't need the salt. During the day, yes. Close the parentheses, comes along one rabbi and says you can't make gomel at night. And this rabbi thought, why not? It's a bracha like any bracha. There's no reason not to make it at night. I just came back from the trip. It's a beautiful ceremony. Hagomel will be the climax of that ceremony. Okay? What did the Chasam Sofer answer? The Chasam Sofer answers exactly what this shir is all about. Comes the Chasam Sofer and says, and I quote, the following, middle column. Omer ani, Masha bikras bikras hodal balayla la'arot sha'a yafeh asak asher ava'er. Says the Chasam Sofer, for your particular reason of saying Birkas HaGomel, you could have said it at night. Why? Because if you look at Perek Kuf Zayin, As I said earlier, the beginning of the Yom HaAtzma'ut Ma'ariv service, it says there, the four times you have to say Hagomel and thank you to God. The first three times it says, V'yizbechu zivchei todah, which means you have to bring a korban todah. But the time that it says that when you come back from a big trip, you should say todah, it doesn't say afterwards, bring a korban todah. It only says, V'yiromemuhu b'kahal am, uvemoshav skenim yahaleluhu, which means you should thank God in front of a lot of people. Comes the Chasam Sofer and says, for the three other reasons you say Hagomel, like when you were sick and you got better, or you were in jail and you got out, then you have to bring a korban todah, and the Birkas Hagomel should only be said during the day, because it's in place of the korban todah. But the reason you said Hagomel was because you came back from a very big trip, and after a big trip in that perek in Tehillim, it doesn't say bring a korban todah. It just says say thank you to God. If it's just thank you to God, and it's not in place of a korban todah, then, and only then, you don't have to say it during the day, you could say it at night. Now I have to say, I found this fascinating, because what the Chasam Sofer is doing, is he's paskening halacha based on the difference in psukim in the ketuvim. We have here a few chidushim. First of all, you can medayik from ketuvim, not just from the Chamisha Chumshei Torah. And secondly, he's very medayik in that particular perek. And he bases it on a Tosfot and other things, and eventually he says that in your case, you could say it at night. But if you happen to be sick, and you got better, then like the Korban Todah, only during the day. So once again, we find the machlokes, and that is, how much is Hagomel like Korban Todah? Can we say it during the night when you can't bring korbanos? Or perhaps we can't because it's like a korban todah. And finally, the last nafgamina is something everybody here, I'm sure, knows. How can I say this nicely? There's one thing that makes us happier in davening than anything else. And that is when you hold a siddur or machzor in your hand and you skip. When you skip Tachanun on a Monday or Thursday, when you skip Lam Natseach Mizmor LeDavid, even though in terms of time, how much did you skip? A minute? 30 seconds? People are happy. So there's one thing, a benefit on Chol HaMoed Pesach. What's the benefit? Psukei DeZimra. You get to Mizmor LeTodah, and it says, omit during Pesach. Why do we omit it during Pesach?
Because they didn't bring the Korban Todah.
We just said the Korban Todah was brought with Chametz, so you couldn't bring it on Pesach. And even though Mizmor LeTodah in our Psukei DeZimra is a very short passage, people are very happy when they omit in general. And Mizmor LeTodah in particular, because then you don't have to stand up. So you get two benefits. You don't have to stand up, and you get to omit. There's another time during the week we omit Mizmor LeTodah. Which day?
Rosh Chodesh?
Yeah. No. There's no reason why. Why not Rosh Chodesh?
Erev Yom Kippur.
Erev Yom Kippur, because we can't for different reasons. And what about every week? Look on the top of this particular source, the Levush. Everybody here knows who the Levush was? His name wasn't clothing, for those that think his name was clothing. Rav Mordechai Yaffe lived around the time of the Ramah. He was a student. And he wrote a Perush that was like a compromise between the Shulchan Aruch and the Beis Yosef. It was sort of like a super Perush, but not as extensive as the Beis Yosef, and not as short as the Shulchan Aruch. So therefore, we barely learn the Levush, because we say either or. If you want the bottom line, learn the Shulchan Aruch. If you want all the Rishonim, learn the Beis Yosef. The Levush is somewhere in between. But, therefore, every time I quote the Levush, I think I'm doing a big favor. A guy wrote a whole book and we barely learn him. And indeed, he writes like this, Mizmor LeTodah, Medinot Eilu Ein Nohagin Lomo B'Shabbes V'Yom Tov, She'ein Todah Krelo B'Pnei Shehu Korban Yochid. What does the Levush say? Why don't we say Mizmor LeTodah on Shabbos and Yom Tov? Because it's like a Korban Todah. Are you allowed to bring a Korban Todah on Shabbos and Yom Tov? No, you can't volunteer korbanos on Shabbos and Yom Tov. The only korbanos we bring are the korbanos we have to bring, not nidarim and nidavot. And this is a voluntary korban, we don't bring it. So therefore, you don't say mitzvah matoda, because indeed, we never brought a toda on Shabbos. Okay? By the way, the Sfardim do say it on Friday night, but they don't say it, as far as I know, on Shabbos morning. Anyway, make a long story short. The Maharam Shik. Who's the Maharam Shik? Has anyone heard of the Maharam Shik?
Sure.
Sure you did. Look on the bottom of the source sheet. I did you a big favor today beyond cutting the sources short. Rav Moshe Shik, 1807 to 1879. He was a Talmud of the Chasam Sofer. We're talking about Hungary. He comes out with the following tshuva. And this is what the tshuva is all about. Why don't we say on Shabbos and Yom Tov, Berka Mizmor L'Toda? Because you don't bring a Toda on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Okay, now let's continue that logic. Hagomel is in place of? Hagomel is in place of? Korban Toda, correct? So can you say Hagomel on Shabbos? After all, we don't bring a Korban Toda on Shabbos, so how can we say Hagomel on Shabbos? Says the Maharam Shik in this particular tshuva, not only do we not bring Korbanos on Shabbos, but more than that, we don't even daven what's called a Tfilat Nedava on Shabbos. What's a Tfilat Nedava?
A personal request.
No. Try again. A Nedava is a voluntary davening. You davened already Shachris, now you want to volunteer a second Shachris. That's a Nedava. We use it many times, and we have a suffix if we davened or not. We say, okay, daven now, perhaps again. And you'll say, if I'm wrong, and I really davened, it's a korban nedava. It's like a tefillah nedava, excuse me. That being the case, says the Maharam Shik, since you don't bring voluntary korbanos on Shabbos, and davening is in place of korbanos, we also don't volunteer extra davenings on Shabbos. So during the week, we can contemplate, if we forgot Yale V'Yavo, yes, no, maybe, okay, say a tefillah nedava. Shabbos and Yom Tov, we can't do that. So I asked the Maharam Shik, I go to shul on Shabbos, to the synagogue. And as you know, Shabbos davening is very long. And one of the reasons it's very long is that we have so many commuters here in Efrat that say Agomel after they travel. So a lot of commuters and a lot of Agomels. When do they usually make it to shul to say Agomel? Shabbos. So perhaps you can't say Agomel on Shabbos. We skip Mizmor L'Toda. We don't say Atfilas Nedava. Follow the logic. We shouldn't be able to say Agomel on Shabbos. Because it's in place of a Korban Toda, which we never brought on Shabbos. Answers the Maharam Shik, even though he likes the question, and he has a huge pilpul here on it, he basically comes and says the following. If you want to say it's like a Korban Toda, then indeed, we have a halacha with regard to bringing korbanos that we don't have to bring on Yom Tov. Beit Zadav Kuf Amud Bet, if you look in the source, it says, the im avar v'shachat, nedarim v'nedavos b'yom tov, zoreket adam v'chol mar de'itle, u'b'shahabat k'kahai gavna. He says, there is an opinion in the Gemara, that if you went ahead and by mistake you brought a korban you didn't have to bring on Shabbos and Yom Tov, you take the blood and you throw it, and you hope it's going to be okay, and indeed, lechatchila, you shouldn't, but b'di'evet, it works. That being the case, says the Maharam Shik, and I quote, Ava birkas hagomel, kivan da'ad hashta lo birech, v'chen yinyan yoledet, v'koy shehu yimitzvah lo mashahin al v'havi k'di'evet, shapidam levarech. He says a very interesting logic that I didn't totally understand, but I'll share it with you. He says, since you have to make this bracha, and indeed the Shulchan Aruch says within 3 days, and you're getting close, this is a clash between the two things we said. Is it just a bracha? Based on Korban Toda, but Korban Toda doesn't govern it? Or is it totally governed by Korban Toda? Says the Maharam Shik, when you come to Shabbos, you have a clash. On the one hand, you don't volunteer toldas on Shabbos. But on the other hand, this man has to make a bracha. Upon him is an obligation to make a bracha. So says the Maharam Shik, I'll invoke the opinion that says you shouldn't bring korbanos that are voluntary on Shabbos. But if you brought it, b'dieved it works. And therefore we make a gomel on Shabbos. Now, I don't totally understand his answer, but it's fascinating to me because you can deduce from it, this is the clash we have when you try to compare one thing to another. And we'll go on with this the next few weeks with other examples, but I'll just give you a spoiler for next week. How many people here heard of Shomea Keone? You're in the middle of Kedusha. I'll take your questions in a moment. You're in the middle of Kedusha, and you want to say in the middle of Kedusha, you're middle of Shmoneh Esrei, Kedusha comes. We are quiet. Why are we quiet? I hear an echo. We're quiet because we say Shomea Keone. Now, Shomea Keone means if I'm quiet, it's like I said it. Is that totally like I said it? So let's assume I see a guy I don't like, and in my mind I curse him. I say, this guy's a moron, but I didn't say it. Do I have to pay him damages because I thought it? Because thinking and hearing is like saying? That's exactly the shiur we gave this morning. When we compare something in halacha, the shulchan's like a mizbeach, the melach's in place of them is things we put on the korbanos. Korban told us like birkas agomel. How much do we compare it to it, and how much not? Is it totally compared, or is it like, but not totally like? Questions. Mr. Weiser had a question, but Mr. Weiser, you had a question? No, okay. Questions, go. Arthur, yes.
Yeah, if a city is under a problem that would require gomel, does one person say it and do they change the tefillah to plural?
We don't change, very good svara, we don't change the nusach of the brachot that Chazal made for various reasons, and therefore the best idea in that situation is one person should make the bracha, but everyone there, Shomea Keone, as I just quoted, would be quiet and have kavana to latzeit through his bracha. Instead of having 25,000 people get up and say Birkas HaGomel, which could be a bracha levatala for the following reason. If indeed you thought the right thoughts, you were Yotze. So don't make the bracha. If you heard Kiddush, don't make another Kiddush because you were Yotze the Kiddush. So that's what I think you should do. You should know, however, you can go on YouTube. There is an interesting Cholamoi davening of the Satmar Rebbe where they lean and they stop davening after, I think, the third or the fourth Aliyah of Cholamoid. And every single person that traveled gets up and says Agomel. It takes probably, I would suggest, 15, 20 minutes. And we all know Cholamoi davening is not that short. Barry. Yes, Barry.
Is there a connection anywhere between the Birchas Agomel and Shira? Shira being a type of toda, like Azir Shir right after an event, and connecting that with time.
There is a connection, however, I think in the world of Chazal, there are two distinct things. Shira is always associated with Hallel. When Omar lefanav shiracha dashah haleluka, we say it the Seder night, and we say Hallel. The Gemara says in Psachim, recorded last week, that the obligation to say Hallel is indeed one that you say every time God redeems the Jewish people, and once again, it says it with reference to Shira. I'm not so sure that's synonymous with Hagomel, with Korban Toda.
Are we breaking between national and...
Rabbi Zef, I didn't see you come in. My apologies. In general, I think they're two distinct things, but they are connected. In a word, there is a Gemara that says you shouldn't say Hallel every day because you're making a joke out of it. But you're thanking God for an extraordinary miracle. You got up in the morning, you thank God, Modani. But a whole Hallel, you got up in the morning. So indeed, the Gemara says during a regular day, Psukei de Zimra, but on special days, Hallel. Mismo Latoda is indeed with us every day. So it's part of the thank you God I'm still alive. Hallel is for the extraordinary events. Hagomel is somewhere in between. Okay, gentlemen, we will meet next week. Everyone should stay healthy and well, even though we have relaxed here in Israel some of the various hanchayot to keep healthy. Please keep them to the T, and don't be machmir to be even more lenient on this issue. On this issue, a chumra is good. Have a wonderful, wonderful, good day.